Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson. This is our podcast where we're able to delve into these issues with a little more detail because we're not constricted by a broadcast clock, and love doing this. I am thrilled to have in studio with me Pastor Christine Uwazera Coleman, my friend. And Pastor Christine survived the Rwandan genocide, and she has an amazing story, and she reached out with all that is happening in America today with this Black Lives Matter. She said, Kim, we need to talk about this. Pastor Christine, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I always enjoy being here.
So let's just jump in here. You have some things that you want to say. So where do you want to start, Pastor Christine?
You know what? I would say let's flow. I am very concerned about what's going on in the country now because I have been through the Rwanda genocide. I have been through races before, and myself being Black. So I do think we need to be very careful here because I can see some of the flags. I can see things I saw before the Rwanda genocide, before the war. I see those signs, and I believe people need to talk, pastors, anybody who has a voice, to encourage unity, to try to find other solutions which are not brutal, which are more peaceful. Thank you.
Okay, so you said you're seeing some flags. What are some of those flags, Pastor Christine?
You know, when people protest, but then it ends up being rioting, vandalism. You know, last week I took a trip downtown and I went to the Capitol because God told me, I want you to go and pray for peace in the streets. And when I was there, I saw destruction. I saw the graffiti writing on the wall. I saw the beauty of downtown just being destroyed little by little. Those are the things I have seen back home before the Rwanda genocide. It starts like something small, and it seems like there is a truth right there. But then you can see that the solution are not justice, the solution are not peaceful. So we have to be careful about those solutions which are not peaceful.
Okay. So, and you, I think I heard you just say that it starts small, that there might have been some truth. So, yes. And there is. I think that people were very unified in their just concern with George Floyd's life. You know, in America, we're supposed to have due process, and there's no cruel and unusual punishment. And so what happened there was cruel, and it was unusual.
Yes.
And so we certainly understand that. I think we were unified that that is not what we want to have happen. But then, so there, that was the truth.
Right.
But then from there, we have seen a destruction, kind of a taking over a narrative.
Yeah, from there are groups that try to take advantage. I am talking to you. I have gone through this. Like, if you look at the Rwandan genocide, it starts with someone killing two presidents in an airplane that they brought down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. That's evil. We really need to come against that. But we have to make sure we don't solve this using the same means. What was done to George Floyd is wrong. And it needs to be condemned. And we are in a country where there is a justice. I have no doubt if people wait, they are going to see justice. But what happened after is that oftentimes people misinterpret. And the misinterpretation is to think, okay, because this guy who killed him, let's say, if I can use that term, he's white, oh, now it's a racial issue. Now the white don't like like the black, they don't like the Asians, they don't like the yellow, the blue, you know, if we can use those words. But that's not true. I have very good friends who are white. I have very good friends who are from the Asian community. You know, my church, it's a mixture of all races. I have people from South America. And I don't think in America we really have this big issue where if you're this race, people are going to come and kill you. I think some people misinterpreted or just made it like something that's generally happening. I don't think it's so.
Well, the media, the mainstream media, Pastor Christine, is really playing into this. And I think they're fomenting division among us. And, you know, Christ said it. Abraham Lincoln said it. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It looks to me like there is a movement to try to tear down America. Now, let's move that over here to your story, mm-hmm. because when you came to America, I can't imagine that you came with a lot of financial resources. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, that's true. So after all that we have gone through, which I would say, it starts small. Some people get killed. And then the media, it's like, I would even say, me as a Christian, someone who understands the spiritual realm, I would say there are evil forces. They try to go behind and they make it appear to the people, oh, there is this big problem. In this case, I do believe the media is being used also to take this to the extent that it is not supposed to be. So after all of that, thank God, I went through all of that and the destruction was not good for anyone, even the people who protested. Where if something, God forbid, but if something were to go bad with our country, nobody's going to profit, not even the people who protest, because if there is a war, nobody profit, not even the people who are doing it, not even the people who protested. So after going through all of that, to this day, we are still reaping the consequences. They are not very good.
Now, you're talking about Rwanda.
Rwanda, yes. Okay, okay. So I'm sorry, I just went back to give it a foundation.
So in Rwanda, the media was also being used?
Not as big, because our media was one national television and another radio station. But there were those people working like here. I was saying, oh, yeah, this is the problem. This is the problem between Hutu and Tutsi. But that's not what it was. It was the problem with Kagame, who wanted to take power. But he made it like, you see, this is a problem with the tribes. Just exactly like what's happening here. If I bring a comparison, it will shock you. And, you know, maybe it can be for another time. But those are the things people need to avoid thinking, oh, it's a problem between black and white. So from there, things didn't go well, so I came here. And when I come, I really, in my pocket, I had probably $2,000 that I had saved back home. Uh-huh. $2,000, which when I came, I gave all the money to my sponsor. I had an American sponsor, a family that met me in Africa, and they saw that I'm smart. They like me. And they, before they left Africa, they said, what can we do for you? And I didn't ask them to give me money, which I could, and I'm glad I didn't. But I asked them, is there a way you can put me back in school? Because I lost my parents. Now I have lost my siblings. It would be good to go back in school.
Now, tell us, how did you lose your parents and your siblings?
Okay, I lost my parents way before the war.
Okay.
But on the day when the genocide began, April 6, 1994, I lost my sister. I was at her house, and 6 hours after I left her house, her and her entire family were completely killed and destroyed.
A little baby, too, right?
And the baby and the maid. The only maid who survived was a married maid who went and hid in a bathroom. And he's the one who survived to tell us the story. Yeah, so the war was really bad, the genocide. We saw close to 1 million people killed within 3 months. And after that, the international community pulled in to come help. And I met my sponsor because they came part as the group of humanitarian action that came to help in the Congo where I fled. At that time, I had lost my 3 siblings, and my parents had died before the genocide.
How old were you at this time?
I am 21 at this time.
21 years old. Mm-hmm. So you come to America.
Yes, and so I come to America. I barely speak English. But I have a big heart, and I'm a Christian, and I believe all things are possible. So when I get in the family, I am shaken because even though I speak a little bit of English, they speak so fast. And so every time I talk, people go, "What?" And I start being offended. I'm like, "I don't know." But God told me, just bear. It's going to take you a while. It took me probably a year to adjust to the language and the life. Because when I came, I lived with them. I stayed in their apartment. They gave me an apartment. They had a big house. They gave me an apartment within their house where I had the privacy and everything. But we are one family. And after 3 months in that place, they put me in a school. I went to school. I studied the information system, and I finished, got a job as a computer specialist. Okay. I can troubleshoot issue. And this time, English is coming. But I realized companies were also looking for people who speak a different language. Because there's a big, I was working for HP, and they have companies in Canada, Europe. So they need somebody who can speak more languages, which I spoke at least 5 languages.
What languages do you speak?
Yeah, so I speak French, I speak Swahili, I speak Kinyarwanda, now I do speak English. And of course I speak Kirundi, which is almost like the same thing as Kinyarwanda.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So you come to America with $2,000, but you paid that. You lived at these people's homes, so it seemed like a fair trade probably.
Right. I gave the money for them. They say, "Oh, no, we're going to sponsor you. We're going to save this. We're going to put in your saving account. Whenever you need it, we're going to give it to you." And so they provided everything. They paid my schooling fees, which was very expensive, because to go to a college and you're an international student, while everybody pays like $500 or maybe they have a full scholarship, I was paying at least $3,000 every 3 months.
Okay, what an amazing family.
Yes, I'm so grateful.
Let's go back to a comment that you made. And you know what? I know your story, so I'm going to ask you one other question. And
right.
That is, you said you're a Christian. Share your story about how you became a Christian.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I love it. So I grew up in a Catholic family. And, church for me is going to church Sunday. It's a tradition. I am not deep. I just go there, I show up, I show off my nice clothes, but I don't have that relationship. Mm-hmm. Where during the war, while we were fleeing in 1994, I lost touch with my family member and I found myself alone. And I'm so scared because now, how are you going to survive? While I see left and right, people are dying. This is not a joke. This is not a movie. And then I realized, I could die anytime. And so I began to cry and I say, I need to prepare my sorrow, but I don't know how. I used to believe when I was young, I'm not going to be a deep Christian. If I realize I'm going to die, I'm in a hospital, then I would say, God, let's make things right. Let me repent. So I never took my faith serious until I was very close to death. So one day, This time I have escaped the war in Rwanda 94, but I'm in the Congo 96. There is another war which President Kagame brought to Congo because he wanna kill more people. He wants to bring the refugees back to Rwanda by force. And this time I am in this room where the owner of the house doesn't want me because I'm a Rwandan and he doesn't want to be in trouble. He says, you, the only place I give you is the roof. You go hide in the roof. They are hiding in the basement because it's a safe place where people are throwing bombs. And so I'm in a place where I'm exposed to danger, to death. And on the roof, there was a window, a little window where I could see. And the house, like maybe two houses apart, it got hit by a Katyusha. And it got destroyed before my eyes. I see fire. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we're going to be next. We're going to be next. I closed my eyes. I said, God, if you are real, please save me, spare my life. And then when I come out alive, I will serve you. I don't know what you want. If you want me to be a nun or a priest, I'm going to do it. I just want to live. And God hear my prayer. I came out of that war safe and sound. And within 1 week, I'm forced to go back to Rwanda. I didn't want to go, but they forced me. But God used that situation. And when I get to Rwanda, I see a land that had so many deaths. And the presence of God was very strong. I'm sorry, that presence began to shake me. And I began to hear an audible voice of God that said, I'm God Almighty. I have saved you. Even in this land where I'm bringing you, you are full of fear that you're going to die. But no, I have preserved you for a reason. I'm going to use you. I'm going to get you out of here. I will preserve your life. And you are going to serve me because you prayed. And I want you to tell people, I answer a prayer.
Wow. It's an amazing story.
Yes, thank you.
Let's go back to another thing that you said. You said that all things are possible. Yes. It is amazing. Here we are in Colorado. You are a pastor. You have a church. Tell us a little bit about your church.
It's an amazing work. After I came to United, but from Rwanda, I gave my life to Jesus. I became a born-again Christian, and this time it's a relationship. I come here, a born-again Christian, I read the Bible, I do my devotion without anybody reminding me, because it's a relationship between me and God. Before I left Rwanda, God spoke to me again. He said, I am going to use you. So when you go, don't live a lousy life. Work hard. Read the Bible. I'm going to use you. So I came here knowing who I am. When I went to school, I kept my Christian faith. Now, after the school, I was employed, as I told you, with HP. And I worked for DirecTV a little bit, where I was always troubleshooting computers. Mm-hmm. When I was doing that, one day the voice of God again told me, okay, now the time is getting very close. I have put you here to learn to troubleshoot computers, but you know, you're going to troubleshoot the issue of the heart. And so after September 11, I think 2 years later, at the HP, they laid off people. And I was one of the people who God told me, now don't go back, because now you're going to be full time. We're going to write this book. It's called The Blazing of Fire. I think I gave you a copy. After I wrote the book, I was invited by Sid Roth. It's a supernatural. And when people were listening to my testimony, thousands of people began to write to me. People began to call me from everywhere. Can you come and speak? And what a perfect time after I just got laid off. Just, it's perfect. And so I began to do that. In the beginning, it's a ministry. I don't have a church. But people kept asking me, can you come and do the Bible study? I went, but then finally I decided, let's do this in my home. I had a big house in Castle Rock. And before I know it, we become a church. That was in 2008. Okay. And so we have a church. But not only that, we are not like a normal church. We are beyond the four walls. For example, once a week, we go downtown and we have a church on the 16th Street Mall. Sometimes we go where the homeless are. We dance, we pray, we preach, you know, because we realize there are many people who are hurting and they don't have a means to get to church. So we go to them.
So you take it to them.
Yeah, we take it to them. We are a mobile church. And I am a mobile preacher. I have a mobile microphone I take everywhere. And so God has blessed us, Kim. Right now, we do have also a TV ministry. And I do have a national TV right now, which I'm planning to bring you on, actually, now. Too many months from now, you know, because I want us, I want people, the viewer, to hear from you. But anyways, we have national TV. We are doing many things. God is opening many doors. I'm really excited.
It's an amazing story, for sure. I'm talking with Pastor Christine Uwazera Coleman, let's talk about some serious stuff going on here now, and probably one of the issues. Talk to me about Black Lives Matter. What's your thoughts on that?
Yes, Black Lives Matter. I agree. White Lives Matter. Kids Lives Matter. All Lives Matter. It sounds like a good name. So what? I want to give my testimony. You know, you're white. I'm a black. We are very good friends, mm-hmm. aren't we? So I want to give my testimony. When I came here in 1997, it's been about 23 years. My sponsor were white people. With them, and the whole 3 years I lived with the family going to school, I have never felt segregated. I have never felt like, not once in my life, have I ever felt like there is racism against me? And believe me, I am everywhere. I go places. And but that's not how my other friends from Rwanda, from the black community, many of them, I would say maybe 80%, they don't feel like me. And I want to talk about this because God showed me the secret.
Okay.
So the secret is not that probably there are not many, maybe there could be white people I had encountered, they don't like me. But I have been set free from racism. When I had an encounter with Jesus in Rwanda, when I got born again, I became born again to where I forgive. So the problem here that God has shown me, and Kim, this could cause some people to wonder, but it's going to help other people. The problem, I think, it goes back to the slavery, because many black people are very angry that they got enslaved. I think it's wrong. I condemn it myself. But I do believe many people, including you, many white people here, today we are in the new era. Many people condemn it. And the message to the black community is the message of Jesus. Forgive. If you forgive, you will get the freedom that I have. Can you imagine 23 years? I don't feel rejected. When I go to the white people's house or to their party, in my mind, I am free. I don't feel like I'm unwanted. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. Do you know why? Because I forgive.
And so this thing that is happening in America really is based on not forgiving,
yes,
something that happened a long time ago. The other thing about slavery, though, is I remember, this was several years ago. I was at a car wash and I was talking with a woman, and she was a missionary in Africa. And she was back to the States because she had a parent that was very ill, possibly going to be dying. And she started talking with me, and she said that slavery is still in the world today. She said, I worked in Africa for many, many years, and slavery is still happening there. Did you see that?
Not in probably in my country, but it depends what you're talking about. I grew up in a family where you have a probably like a four mates, because my dad was a business person. He wanna give jobs to people. So when you have those mates that are from a very, very poor family, you have them, you pay them very little. If you compare it to here, you might say, oh, wow, that's really nothing. It's a slavery. But for them, it's a big blessing because it's big money there. So I hear there are slavery in a Muslim country like Saudi Arabia, some of those rich nations, they come get people from Africa, but in my country, I did not see it. I could see maybe slavery in a way where maybe you have somebody working hard and probably you don't pay them anything.
Okay. So yeah. That's kind of where we're headed in America, is they want people to work hard and give all the money to the government.
And God forbid, that's why I pray. And so back to the Black Lives Matter, I really believe we need to forgive. And what about racism? Is racism in America? Yes, there is, like it is all over the world. But in America, it's the best place where I saw there is less racism. I know some of my friends in Germany, they will tell me, oh, it's a little bit hard. I have a degree as a doctor, but I can get a job. But here, what I have seen, if you have a brain, you can think, you can get a job. Even if, let's say, some white daddy don't like you, you can start your own business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I see racism is a disease that's all over the world. And I would say, at least in America, it's a country where there is law and order. You can even, because in our laws, it's forbidden. But in other countries, there is not even a law that forbids that.
And I think that's true. I think that everybody that's trying to tear down the American idea, because it's not perfect, are really discounting, what's happening everywhere else in the world. They're not giving any support to the fact that actually in America there was a civil war, a lot of blood was shed to try to answer this question on whether or not one person could own another person. And the answer is no. In the American idea that all men are created equal, beautiful idea, not perfect as we got there, but the ideal is perfect, that yes, all men are created equal, and that each of us have these rights given by God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's the ideal that we want to work towards. And from what I see, it's happening in our country right now. There is people that want to look at it as the oppressed and the oppressor. There's no forgiveness on that. And really, nothing good can come from that, from what I can see, Pastor Christine.
It is true. And people better really think right now before it gets to another level. Because, we love the movement, but I'm concerned that maybe this Black Lives Matter movement is, I see a lot of deception in it. And I think people need to think twice. I don't know how to explain it, but I see a lot of deception where actually, can I say this? I'm seeing probably another form of slavery coming towards the Black community, where you have that victim mentality, where you need all these white people to come and tell you, oh, you know what, we are going to protest because you're so oppressed. I do think the Black Lives Matter should not seek sympathy from anybody, and you should not accept that you are so victimized, because that's another form of slavery, and I'm afraid that that's where they are headed, because I can see all these organizations coming and saying we are supporting you because you're being persecuted. But, before I came, I looked at the data where actually it shows the number of people killed in USA by the police by race. And the numbers shows a lot of white people killed more than the black. Of course, it's because we have a greater number of white people. But there are more people who die who are not black. So if all lives matter, let's speak up for them. If all lives matter, let's protest when abortion is happening and things like that.
Okay. We're getting close to the end of our time. May we talk a little bit in politics? This was just late breaking. We talked about this morning on the radio. My researcher has connected a dot that I don't know anybody else has yet. And if you go to the Black Lives Matter website and make a donation, you are directed to Act Blue. And Act Blue is a huge Democrat fundraising machine. And in fact, if you look at that, since 2004, they've raised $5.2 billion. And they went through, for example, they gave $186 million to Bernie 2020. So somehow, this is somewhat of a political connection.
Yes, I agree. That's why I've been telling my people, because I have a great job to do, and my people, because they're, oh, yes, Black Lives Matter. But I told them, let's look at the motive behind this movement. To me, it's more a political than a humanitarian movement. And it's my prayer that everything get exposed. I think God is answering our prayers.
Okay. So, Trump, what do you think? How's Trump doing?
This is a tough time for Trump, but you know, we are praying. Do you know why we pray? People say, you love Trump too much. Well, the reason why I support him, it's because God said he's the one. When Obama was the president, he was not my favorite president. But you know what? I did not seek to bring him down because God allowed him to be president. Mm-hmm. I would say, let's respect the office. How is Trump doing? This is a tough time, but you know he's tough. And I predict and I believe he's going to win.
Okay.
2020.
Okay. So final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners, Pastor Christine Uwizera Coleman.
I would say everybody, regardless of the color of your skin, remember, we all have the same blood. Before I left my house, my husband was making eggs and he broke them. And there were white eggs, you know, if you look at the skin, the shell, they were brown, there were all kinds of different color. And he was asking my son, because he was trying to teach him, to give him a lesson. He said, what color is inside? And my son said, Dad, they are all yellow. I said, we are one race. We are one race. America is a great nation. But you need to know, if you complain that there is racism here, maybe you should take a trip to Rwanda and stay there 1 month. Maybe you should take a trip and go to Thailand and see how they are treating Pakistani refugees or Nigerian refugees. I hear they put them in cages. Sometimes we have so many good things going on. We don't know because we have not traveled outside. I would say, fellow Americans, this is a country of the free. This is a country where you have many beautiful things happening. You have law and order. You have the laws to protect you. But in many other countries, it's a dictatorship. You just make a little move that is not pleasing to the president, they kill you. But here, you can say anything you want, and nobody's going to come and kill you. I say, let's stay united. Let's think before we try to bring to stand with anarchists here. Let's stay united. Let's stay prayerful. Let's remember that even though we don't like the president, God chose him. And let's wait until the election. I do believe if we really wait and be patient and wait for justice, justice will come, but we will not get to anything if we begin rioting and we begin to fight one another. Let's be united. And to my black community, I would say, let's forgive and move on.
Oh, so this is Pastor Christine Uwazera Coleman, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me Sounding Off with Kim Munson. And my friends, God bless you and God bless America.